was mad. And then there was another kind that would like to have some more, and they came back tonight. That's you. Amen? Amen. I'm glad you came back. Amen. And Luke 14, I sort of want to continue the thought that I was preaching on this morning. I was preaching on the calls of God, and I preached on not only the call to salvation, but the virtue and holiness and these things. And I never should have mentioned Walmart. Y'all need to tell me don't say nothing about Walmart. It offends people. Amen. I know. But if you want to see virtue, Walmart ain't the place to go look for it. Amen. But here's the problem. Here's the problem with a lot of folks nowadays that go to church. It's not their fault. It's really not. It's the fault of the pulpits of America. They don't know what virtue and holiness means. So therefore, when a preacher preaches it, they think he's judging them for salvation. Now, we do judge virtue and holiness and godliness, but we don't judge salvation. We don't know what's in somebody's heart. Now, I can tell you when somebody's living wrong and be right to tell them. But I can't tell them they're not going to heaven if they say they've trusted Christ. I can't see their heart. I can't judge that part. But I can judge by other ways. Amen? And the Bible tells us to do that. But this morning, that message was right down the line, the calls of God. And tonight, this morning, I mentioned that great supper. You remember I walked out on the banks of heaven and I said, supper time, come up hither. Tonight, I want to show you a little bit more about that supper time. If you look at it, Luke chapter 14, start with verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. That means he invited a lot of people. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come. There's the call. Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent, they were all in agreement, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Those that made excuses. Father, bless the reading of your word tonight. Help me as I preach. Put a guard at my lips. I wouldn't say anything I shouldn't. But give me unction. Encourage, convict, convert, comfort, do whatever needs to be done. Lord, there's some out tonight. I pray for them. I'm sure Miss Hazel's having a hard time, Miss Rainer and others. Pray for them, Lord. But I can't preach to them. You know who's here. You know what we need. So I pray you'd speak to us, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Now, here's basically the story. A rich man made a great supper. Now, this is comparing to God himself. And he told his servant, he said, now I want you to go. Now, he already sent out invitations. He bade many. He'd already sent them out. They were already sent out. And he sent his servant to those that were bidden, the ones that had the invitation already. And he said, you go tell them to come now. It's now ready. And they all began to make excuse. And every one of them had a good excuse. They had good excuses. As far as they were concerned, they were good excuses. And so the master, he got mad. He got upset. He said, okay, If they think they're too good to come, go out there and get the poor people. Go get the crippled people. Go get the blind people. Go get those that those people wouldn't even sit with if they were here, and go get them. And then he came back. He said, now that's done, and we still got room. He said, okay, so now don't go out into the lanes and the little streets. Go out to the big way. Go out to the highways and the hedges. That's to all the world. First ones were right there in town. The next ones, he said, now you go out into those big ways. You go out in the highways and hedges, and you just compel them to come in. Come on in. Come on in. You don't need an invitation. This is your invitation. Come on in. And he did, and the house was filled. And he made a warning at the end. He said, now none of those that were bidden that didn't come, none of them shall taste of my supper. Now that's a story, isn't it? That's a story. Now, this morning I preached on the calls of God. And a call is basically like he did. He said, come. Why ain't y'all in there with them other kids? Come. He said, come. So, in the words of this morning, that was the same as a call, okay? Now, that feast in this story is the same as salvation. It's a picture of salvation. And if you look at John chapter 6, real quick, I'm trying to get my message. John chapter 6, verse 35. I want you to notice that. John chapter 6, look at verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And then John chapter 7, verse 37 says this, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. So salvation is pictured as a great feast. Would you agree with me? Salvation. We talk about the wedding supper. We talk about the wedding supper of the Lamb and things like that. Salvation in the Bible is pictured as a feast. And so this word in here, great, he had a great supper. That means it was not a normal supper. This was out of the ordinary. This was not a simple supper. This was a magnificent supper. Just like our salvation is not a simple life, it's an extraordinary life. It's a great life. It's not just a simple life that everybody else lives day by day. He feeds us. He supplies our needs. He gives us what we need. Sometimes he gives us what we want, see. And so when you get saved, that's like going to a great supper. Now, I'm going to show you three things, and I'll let you go home. And hopefully you won't go home mad, but if you do, that'll be okay too. but number one, I want you to look at verse 16 and 17 in Luke chapter 14. A certain man made a great supper. He bade many. Now, I want you to think about that. He made this great many, and he sent somebody to get them, and he sent somebody to tell them it's now ready, and they turned him down. They turned him down. He extended the invitation. There was two calls that went out. Number one was the invitation to supper. Number two, the supper is now ready. And I want you to notice something. Now, he'd already said, everybody, whosoever will let them come, everybody already has the invitation to go to heaven. Everybody does. If you were born on planet Earth, God, the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's a draw from God on every human being that was ever planted on this earth to seek Him and to seek salvation. Everybody has that. Everybody. Do you understand that? Everybody has that. And when people say, well, what about the heathen over yonder in India or down in some dark tribe somewhere? It's born in you. There's a spirit born in you that hungers and thirsts after God. And if you'll seek that, He'll give you more. And you seek that, He'll give you more. And everybody is bidden to this supper. There's nobody counted out. Amen? Y'all got me? You still with me? I helped ordain reluctantly, I helped ordain a pastor one time, and the only question I asked him, and when you go before ordination committee, they ask you biblical questions, and I expect biblical answers. He didn't give me one. I've been on two of those. And I said, is there anybody that you could not witness to and try to lead to Christ? He said, yep. Yeah, there is. I said, who? He said, homosexuals. He said, they're already reprobates. I said, you don't know that. How would you know that? Only their mind, in their mind, could they know. Now, they could tell you they were, but only they know that. You don't know who's a reprobate and who's not. Reprobate means they're beyond belief. You don't know. We're supposed to witness to everybody. And so he sends the call out to everybody. Y'all understand what I'm saying? There's an invitation to whosoever will, let them come and drink of the water of life freely. Amen? So, then, once this feast was set up, then he sent his servant. He said, now you go only to the ones that I sent the invitation to. Now, what does that mean, preacher? Well, that means John 1:11 says, he came unto his own, John 1:12 says, and they received him not. They received him not. He came to the Jew first. And he told them, go preach the gospel to the Jew first. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. He came to the Jew first. That was his family on earth, the family of Abraham. And he offered it to them, and they rejected the great supper. They rejected it. So now he says, all right, you went to them. Now, they don't want it. I'm sending it to whosoever will. Go out in the lanes, in the highways, in the byways, and compel them to come in. Go get the poor and the crippled and the lame and the halt. Those, and now here we're talking spiritually now. Somebody without Christ is spiritually crippled and spiritually lamed and spiritually blind. He said, now you go get them. You go get the ones that first crowd wouldn't have nothing to do with if they'd have showed up. Amen? There's a lot of religious people. By the way, those that walked out and mad this morning, they don't know me. If they'd known me, they wouldn't have got mad at me. There's a lot of religious crowd that thinks they're too good to go to church with some people. There's a lot of religious crowd that thinks they're too good to sit down beside poor people or crippled or lame or halt or blind or black or red or whatever. They think they're too good for that. Now, we're talking about religious people, see. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, now look, that first crowd wouldn't answer it, so now I want you to go out there and you grab anybody you can get. That's okay, that's the Lord trying to get in touch with her. He's been trying to get in touch with her all day. But go out there and get them, whosoever will, the cripple, the lame, the halt, and you bring them in. Why? That my house may be full. So there was two calls. The invitation went out, supper's ready. The invitation went out. Those that didn't want it, the invitation went out to whosoever will. Now, they begin, the first crowd began to make excuses. Look at verse 18. And they all with one consent began to make excuses. In other words, the whole crowd that was invited the first time. Every one of them began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground and must need and go see it. I pray thee, have me excuse. Now, what kind of excuse is that? I bought a piece of ground and I hadn't even looked at it. I done paid for it and I never seen it. Sounds like a lie to me, amen? Preacher, I can't come on Sunday night. I'm too tired. Wonder who's at Walmart tonight, amen? I'm sorry, Kmart. Listen. Hey, listen. He said, I can't come. I bought some land. That's a sorry excuse. That's a sorry excuse. What he's saying is, I've done some business that's more important than God's business. Amen. I've turned down many jobs that worked on Sunday. I didn't work for 6 months back in the 80s when things were really bad. I picked up cans and sold them to buy gasoline to look for a job. You know why? Every job I went after worked on Sunday, and I said, I'm not going to work on Sunday. I'm going to be at church. I quit a job at Duke Power because they wanted me to work on Sunday. I worked out at a nuclear plant. A man came to me, and he said, "We're going to be working the next few Sundays. You're going to have to be here." I said, "I'm not going to be here. I'll be down at the church. If you want to see me, you'll have to come to church. I don't work on Sunday. I'll be at church." Now, if I was a policeman, I wouldn't have said that. If I was a doctor or nurse, I wouldn't have said that, a public servant. But he was wanting me to pull electrical cable, and his business, he thought, was more important than God's business. Amen? And he said, "Well, we'll write you up." I said, "How many write-ups does it take to get fired?" He said, "3. I said, "We're going to work next 3 Sundays?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Go ahead and write all 3. I'm not going to be here." And I quit that job. Amen? Went back. They thought I was crazy. Went back to work in the cotton mill. Bless God. Amen. And see, there's no more important business than God's business. And certainly you making money is not more important than God's business. What if you've been working on somebody for months and months and months trying to get them to come to church, and you picked that Sunday to work and they showed up? I better move on. Did I tell you about Walmart? Listen. Number 2. Look at verse 19. Another said, "I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused." Now, Jesus said, if your donkey's in the ditch, your ox is in the ditch, you got to get him out. But this man didn't have one in the ditch. He done bought 10. A yoke is 2, right? Far as I know, it's 2. I'm not a farmer. I'm a city boy. But I think a yoke is 2. And so he's bought 10 oxen, and he's never driven one of them. Now, do you believe that? That's a lie. Any farmer would not buy a mule or an ox that he had never tried out. Amen? Amen. You might have to beat the thing to death to get him to do anything. You know, you don't do that. It's just another lame excuse. Boy, can't we come up with them. It reminds me of that song, "Excuses, excuses, you hear them every day. The devil will supply them if from church you'll stay away. When folks come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses." And he goes on, he says, "It's the summer is too hot, and in the winter it's too cold. In the springtime, when the weather's just right, you find somewhere else to go. It's up to the mountains or down to the beach or to visit some old friend. Or just sit around the house and kind of relax, hoping some of the kin folks will drop in. Excuses, excuses." Hey, man, I knew that song. And listen, that's a lame excuse to say I bought some livestock I've never seen. I've never tried them. People lie to you more about church than they will and serving God. But you know what? I'd hate to go to hell over 10 ox I'd never even seen. Wouldn't you? Amen. And then, look at the next one. Oh boy, this is a real good one. Verse 20. Another one said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." Can I park it right here, fellas? Can I just park it right here? Can we just park it right here? I hope you don't belong to Husband Beaters Anonymous, ladies. I turned on TV years ago. I think it's old Phil Donahue. You got to be old to remember him. And he had some women on there and some men that was their husbands. And these women belonged to Husband Beaters Anonymous, and they beat their husbands. Little old frail woman sitting over there, 250-pound, 6-foot man, and he's scared to death of that woman. "Well, I can't do nothing. She just won't let me do nothing." I thought, what kind of man are you? The woman ain't 5'4". What's she going to do? Lay down in front of you? You know, "I can't come to church because my wife won't let me." Yeah, yeah. And you go places with the boys, you know, and you meet up with the boys, and the boys offer you a drink, Brother Rick, and you say, "I can't do that. My wife would kill me if she knew I did that." What you ought to say is, "I don't do that. I'm a saved child of God. I don't do that anymore." Amen? Don't use your wife for an excuse. You're a pretty low-down, sorry man to use your wife for an excuse. Amen? Amen? But it ain't nothing new. It started way back there in the Garden of Eden. Amen. Eve was tempted and she failed. Adam knew what he was doing. He sinned on purpose. He did. He sinned on purpose and got us in the mess we're in today and almost put Hillary in the White House. And it ain't over yet. And it ain't over yet. Listen, we ain't on the internet, are we? Oh, they'll firebomb the building before this is over. Listen. Adam. First he went to Eve, said, Eve, what's going on, Eve? And she said, Lord, that serpent beguiled me. You know, he didn't say much to Eve. But then he went to Adam and said, Adam, what's going on with you? And he said, Lord, that woman you give me. And we've been blaming it on women ever since. Amen? We've been blaming it on women ever since. They say, well, if Eve hadn't eaten that apple, number one, it wasn't an apple. Number two, it ain't Eve's fault. It's that sorry husband that should have been there instructing her and helping her to live right. And he wasn't around when it was an important time. He wasn't around. I don't know where he was at, but he wasn't around. And then he comes back, and when they stand for judgment, he tries to pass the judgment off on his wife. Amen. 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 Good preaching. Amen. Now, let me tell you something. You got to be a sorry man to do that. It's bad enough to lie about your farm. It's bad enough to lie about your property. But then lie about your wife and blame everything on your wife. What a sorry, low-down rascal. He didn't want to come to the great supper of the Lamb and meet the Lord Jesus Christ because of his wife. I've met men, and they'll say, well, I'll go to church if she will. I've knocked on doors and tell them who I am, why I'm there. And 9 out of 10 men will do this. Well, let me go get my wife. She takes care of those things. I want to slap him. I want to slap him in Jesus' name. And I believe I get by with it. Low down rascal blaming on his wife. She's in there taking care of the youngins and the house and everything else. That sorry rascal said, I can't go to heaven because of my wife. Let me tell you something. I wouldn't go to hell for nobody. Amen. Amen. Amen? I don't care if she's the best looking woman in town, the smartest woman in town, the richest woman in town. I wouldn't go to hell for nobody. Amen? Amen. I've told people before when I give invitation, listen, get out, come down here. If you got to, push them out of the way. If they won't move, push them out of the way. You need to get saved. I wouldn't let nobody get in my way. Amen? Amen. Amen. Listen, these men had the great opportunity and they blew it by making excuses. You know, science saying, don't you? An excuse ain't nothing but a lie wrapped up in pretty words. That's all it is. An excuse is a lie wrapped up in words. That's all it is. They had no excuse. They had already received invitation. They knew who was going to be there. They knew what it was pertaining to. But when it came time to make that important decision to lay everything else aside and come to the Savior, they made excuses. And let me tell you something. There are going to be more people in hell today and next week and next month and next year and all through eternity because they made excuses when they were called, come. Now, he gave the invitation. It was extended. He gave the invitation. They were evaded. And then he takes that invitation and he expands it. He makes it on a broader group of people. Now, I'm glad I fit in that broader bunch. Before I was saved, I couldn't buy property. I couldn't buy cattle. And I wouldn't have been low down to blame my wife. But if he hadn't sent the call out to sinners like me and you, I'd ended up in hell. Amen. Amen. Look at it. Look at it, verse 21. He says, "So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, and by the way, God gets angry. By the way, God judges sin a whole lot more than I do. God gets angry. Did I tell you about Walmart? You had to be here this morning to understand what I'm talking about. And said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city. Now he went local, streets and lanes of the city, and bring in the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And then the servant said, there's still room. So look at verse 23. And he said unto his servant, go to the highways and the hedges. Now, think about that. He's this great supper, and everything's prepared, and it's all free. And now the people that would were supposed to come wouldn't come. So he said, I want you to go out there. Just go right out here to the streets and the lanes of the city, and I want you to bring in these folks that live right around here. And then he did. He said, okay, the house has still got room. So now I want you to go bring the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And look, they filled up the house of people that nobody else wanted. I remember going to church. Growing up, we didn't go to church. We didn't. Mainly, nobody ever invited us to church. You know, they called us white trash and everything. That's back when people went to church. Most people went to church. I'd say 10% didn't, and we were in the 10%. But other than the Mormons, I don't ever remember anybody entering my mama's house and sitting down and sharing the gospel with us and begging us to come to the Great Supper. And we saw the Mormons for what they were. They were crooks. We saw that. That was fake. That was a cult. We could see that. But you would think that somebody would have come from all those churches and knocked on those poor old people's house, those poor people's house, and invited them to come to their church and come to the Great Supper and get saved and be a part of that Great Supper. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And then after my mama got saved, my mama just went down there. She knew somebody at work that went there, and she went down there, and she got saved at little Free Will Baptist Church. And did you know after that, every Sunday morning, the van would come to our house and pick up my mama and my retarded sister, Judy. Judy was mentally retarded. And they would pick them up. They don't need no more help, sis. They got about six people out there. Amen. Get her some water. And you would think somebody would get off that van and invite those two little knot-headed boys in the house to go to church with Mama. Amen? That's Sister Karen. She's having one of her attacks. Y'all pray for her. Matter of fact, let's just stop right now and pray for her. Holroyd, pray for her if you will. That's right. That's right. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Now, if you take this on a timeline, when Jesus came, he called, come, come. While he was still living, he called, come. And he invited people to come to heaven with him, go to heaven with him. Then, after he was crucified, and he rose from the grave the third day, for 40 days and 40 nights, in his resurrected body, he came and he preached again. And he said, now I'm proof. There's a great thing going on here. I want you to come. And then after he ascended up, as he was ascended up into heaven, he had already told them, go into all the world and preach the gospel after I'm gone. And as he was ascending up, the angel stood there and said, why stand you gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus is coming back in like manner as you see him going right now. He's coming back the same way. So before he was crucified, he preached, come. After he was crucified, he preached, come. And now he's sitting on the right hand of the Father interceding for us, and he sent his Holy Spirit to say, come. The supper's ready. Y'all come. Hey, listen, it's all on the table. We're getting it ready. I'm trying to get up a crowd to sit at the great supper of the Lamb. I'm trying to get you ready. All right, the preacher's come. He said, come. The Sunday school teacher, they said, come. Your mom and daddy preached to you, come. Now, why don't you come? It's ready. And people make excuses. they make excuses. You know, we're trying to get people to come to a totally free, cost nothing, all been paid for, eternal supper of happiness and joy and peace, and nobody seems to want it. You say, well, preacher, I done invited all my kin folks. Okay, start on somebody else's. Well, I done talked to my neighbors. Well, talk to somebody else's neighbors. Did you know, everywhere I go, I put out those church brochures that I have. I try to put them out everywhere I go. I've had people come here that found those. I mean, I hand them to people too, and I'll invite people to church at the cash register, you know, and the waiter and the waitresses and all that. And people find them, and they'll bring them in and say, "I found this in my mailbox. I found this on my door. I found this. I live in these apartments. I saw them on all those doors, or I found them at the gas station. I always put them up on the gas station. Y'all can't reach that high, but I can. That the advertisement above the gas pump. I'll stick them up there, you know. And everywhere I go, all I'm doing is inviting people to come to the supper. I'm not inviting people for me to judge them. I'm not inviting people for me to straighten people out. That ain't my job. My job is to say the supper is now ready. Now come. You got a place at the table. All you got to do is come and sit down, and God will do the rest. Amen? That's all you got to do. Amen? Now, listen. Missy, y'all listen. We can find out about Karen after a while. She's been through this a lot. Okay. Oh, Rusty ain't with her. Amen. But look here. Look, that's a little invitation. That's all that is. That's just a little invitation. Now, in there is the gospel, salvation made simple. It's just a little invitation. But you know what? That right there could get people to the marriage supper of the Lamb without you saying a word. Somebody can pick that up and say, "My goodness, there's a church I could go to, and there's an ugly preacher's picture on there." And then they could read the gospel, and they could be saved. Just reading that little bit of gospel right there, that's the invitation. So you know what, BJ? I don't think the problem is those that are bidding. I think the problem is those that are not bidding people to come. Do you understand what I'm saying? Look, I grew up in a godless home till my mama got saved when I was a teenager, and that didn't help much. But I think I always wanted to know the truth. I was always spiritually hungry, and you were too. You go back and you listen to those songs that most of us grew up on. Most of them had spiritual meaning to them. Some of them even had scripture in them. There's a whole generation, our generation of people that were hungry for eternal life, hungry for the things of God, and the church let us down. When I say the church, I mean the people of the church. They let us down, and they didn't bid us, and they walked right past us every day, and they decided that we were lost causes, and there was not room for me and you at the table. Now, when I get to heaven, I don't want to be labeled as one of those people that thought others were a lost cause. I think as long as there's breath, there's hope. I'll never write anybody off. As long as there's breath, there's hope. People can be saved. That little boy right there was in I think it's train union. I'm not sure about Sunday school, but I think it's a Wednesday night or something we did. Him and his cousin, total terrors. Just total terrors. Y'all terrorized me. No, you wasn't the worst one. But you was close to it. And here's a young little preacher. I wasn't even a preacher yet. Here's a young boy that didn't know anything about God. They stick me in a classroom, and they ought to have named it the Chain Gang class. I didn't know nothing about God, but I knew this. I didn't want those boys to go to hell. I didn't want them to go to hell. So all I do is I just teach them over and over how I got saved. I didn't know what else to teach them. And I try to tell them how to be saved. And I never writ nobody off. No. And you know what? One night, I lived over here. What time? About 10, 11 o'clock at night. He showed up at my front door. And he said, "I just want to tell you, Brother Ron, I got saved." Amen. And I could tell it when he said it. I knew it was real. I knew it was real. He finally accepted the invitation. Now, y'all listen to me, and I'm just trying to encourage you tonight. Don't quit giving the invitation. Don't give up on people. There's people out there right now looking for what you have. And they're just looking in the wrong place. And because of that, they're pushing a needle in their arm. And they're about that far from death. And they're drinking out, trying to drink the bottom out of a bottle or a can, and they're about that far from death. And they're taking every kind of pill you could imagine, and they're about that far from death. And they smoke stuff and inhale stuff, and they're about that far from death. And it may be you'll be the very last one that invites them to supper and rescues them from the pits of hell because you didn't give up. Boy, if you'd have seen me, you wouldn't thought much of it. We'd seen some of you, we wouldn't thought much of you. But I got news for you. Whosoever will can come and drink of the water of life freely. You say, "I got a boss man I don't like." Invite him to supper. Amen. Amen. Get him saved, you'll like him. Amen. "Well, I got this neighbor. I can't stand her. Invite her to supper. She'll get saved. You'll like her then." Amen? Everywhere I ever got a job, since I got called into the ministry, I worked many years, young man, I worked many years and pastored and preached and everything. And as soon as I'd walk in the door, I was always impressed with this thought. There's somebody in here that needs what I have. And once I give it to him, he'll let me move on somewhere else. So I just witnessed everybody. And everywhere I ever went, somebody got saved. Somebody got saved. Now, I worked at one place 6 years before one of them finally got saved. But he got saved. He invited me to his house to tell him and his wife how to be saved. And he was the meanest man in the place. Another place I worked at, my boss man, he made it his goal as soon as I went there, said he was going to get rid of me because they didn't need a preacher there and there wasn't no Sunday school and needed to get rid of me. And before it was over, I was sitting with him after Hurricane Hugo watching the building in the dark, talking to him about Jesus. The old boy got right. The old boy got right. Been saved since he was a little boy, but out of church and mad at the world and got it right. Everywhere you ever go, look, you keep giving out the invitation. There's somebody looking for it right now. And by the way, there's some that were invited and turned it down and they'd like another chance, but they don't think they can get it. But I'm going to read just last thing. I'm going to read it. He said, verse 23, "that my house may be filled." That my house may be filled. I give you this thought. When the great supper table is filled, don't you think it's time to go to supper? You never know. That last one may get in. That last one, you may be talking to them and they get saved. As soon as they get saved, the table is full. Da-da-da-da! Come up hither! Supper's here! Amen? But hey, look, the supper's not going to be ready until the table is full. And once that table gets filled, we're going to supper. And how do you know that one you're talking to is not the last one to get saved? God's already got a number in his head. God's already made the plan. There's only so many seats at a supper table. And when that last seat is filled, Brother Hope Boy, this thing's going to be over. And we're going home. I'd hate to leave some of my kinfolk behind, wouldn't you? I'd hate to leave my children, my grandchildren behind, wouldn't you? I'm going to do my dead level best to get them into supper. Get them up to the table. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God. It never changes. Kind of a different message tonight.